you all for attending tonight. Let's start off with a roll call for attendance, please.
Director Blair?
Here.
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 Item number one on the agenda tonight is the approval of minutes. These are the minutes from the last meeting, and there was one item, item number three, that we were needed some clarification on. Do you have anything to say, Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, at the board meeting on September 6th, there was some confusion as the minutes were recorded of the motion that Director Simons made, and going back to the tape of the motion that Mr. Simons made is in your agenda package, and there are the second paragraph. And it was the general consent that each of the board members received a resolution put together by an agricultural interest, basically saying that they did not want to the resolution intention to be adopted prior without further public information to be considered of adopting that resolution, which we'd have to do anyway by law. Anyway, it was a general consensus that at the board meeting that staff should continue the information program of informing ag users, et cetera, but there was a question of clarification. There was kind of intent of some members talking to the audience that we shouldn't be doing anything until the DWR report comes out. And to clarify that, this item is brought back to the board for review and possible consideration. Just if the board wants to change any portion of the motion, we should re-agenda item and have the board review it at that time, and if you want to modify the motion at all.
For a future meeting, for consideration of the next meeting.
Okay.
When you looked over paragraph two there, Al, did that
seem
to make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes sense in terms of what I said.
Right.
It might not make sense in terms of what should have been said, and we might add, my opinion, we might add an or to the statement that wouldn't hurt anybody's feelings, I don't believe, and yet it probably could better accomplish what the mission might be. And that or would read something like this. Let me just read what I've written out here concerning the entire thing. In my opinion, the motion should be restructured so that additional meetings could be developed, preferably smaller meetings consisting of 3 to 5 people from the Agri group and other groups, plus 3 to 5 people from the district. I recommend that a number of these meetings lasting 1 to 1.5 hour be established prior to further large public meetings. Now, that does not have to be part of this particular motion. This
right.
particular motion would start here. Further, I recommend that we include an or that in quotes statement would follow the additional time in waiting for DWR report. That's the verbiage used in the motion. Okay. The or statement would be verbalized to the effect that if a reputable party or parties comes forth with reasonable proof of overdraft, there would no longer be a necessity of waiting for the DWR report.
That's not part of this motion.
No, that's not part of this one currently.
No,
but he's thinking
about
why don't we straighten this one out first?
Right.
There was 120 people in this room or better when we made this. Now we're going back and saying, hey, this isn't what we really meant, and these people aren't here. This
to me smells like something the county does. And I don't
like it. Can I make a comment here? Just one second.
Yes.
First of all, this what's before the board, of course, is to approve the minutes of the prior meeting.
Right.
Okay. So, the motion would be straightened out. So staff's first recommendation would be that the item, I think it was item 3 from the minutes, be approved because there was some consensus about it. Secondly, to address Director Blair's concerns, that if this we're going to reconsider what this motion should be, we'd have to put it back on the agenda for the next meeting and re-agenda it. I mean, we can't we can't make the motion here without it being on the agenda. So we're not, I don't think there's going to be any motions or discussions about approving a motion to amend the prior motion at this meeting. It would have to be at a subsequent meeting with a public hearing.
Okay, the first part of your response there was that we're talking about approval of the prior minutes of the meeting. The prior minutes were not correct.
That's correct, so that's why we brought it back in this.
Because, as I thought, you know, that there was no further consideration of the resolution until the DWR report. So that has to be inserted into these minutes.
Right.
And then let's consider approving those minutes based on this additional passage that's offered by Mr. Jones tonight. And then we'll take additional steps as necessary.
Yeah, well, basically the original minutes said the resolution intention to form. It says the director signed made a motion to table the passing of a resolution intention to form a groundwater management agency until further information is available about a possible overdraft.
Right.
And basically the motion that was made based on the page is that I move that we table further intent to plan or a resolution in supporting of the AB 33 program until such time as additional meetings and further the DW report is available.
Right.
That would probably be the motion that would be substituted into.
Okay. So to clear up, you know, approval of the minutes, would the other directors consider just inserting this quoted passage from the memo to the directors in place of what was in there before for item three? This part here about possible overdraft will go out. And then this will be inserted.
What page are you on?
I'm looking at page one of the September 6th minutes.
Got it.
Well, excuse me, the August 16th
the
minutes.
The last survey.
Yeah.
The first sentence.
Okay, and that's going to, but this part about the DWR is still going to stay in there.
Correct. We're approving the minutes of a prior board meeting.
Okay.
Not.
Right.
That's what we're doing.
And this is the accurate passage. I'm proposing that we consider throwing that in there in place of this first sentence. Because this is, upon further review of the tape, that's what it shows that he said. And then we can take up the rest of that. Your concerns, Alan, have different comments.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Is there any public comments on this? They probably lost, as we are, on it. Okay. As stated by Mr. Jones, further review of the tape showed that we've got a revised motion by Mr. Simon at the last meeting. The motion, more accurately, is depicted in the memo to the directors, as stated here. The chair will entertain a motion that we just substitute the correct wording for the incorrect wording, and that we approve the minutes from the August 16th meeting.
And basically, the minutes as read, table of passing of a resolution intention to form a groundwater management agency until further information is available about the possible overdraft would be deleted and added. I move that we table further intent to pass a resolution supporting of AB 3030 program until such time as additional means and further the DWR report is available.
Right. Correct. That's more accurate.
That's for the accurate.
Those are actual words that were said. Is everyone happy with that as far as approving of the minutes goes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion then that we do that.
I so move.
Okay. I have a motion by Director Simon. Do I have a second? And a second by Director Mendoza. All those in favor of approving the minutes as amended and discussed. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
I'll say nay. I just don't like the whole thing.
Okay.
Let's need to take a roll call vote.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Mr. Simon?
Yes.
Mr. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mr. Blair?
No.
Yes. Okay. Well, we've got that word substituted in there. anything else we need to discuss on item one that comes to mind, Mr. Jones? Is that pretty much
not clear at all? A, not for the minutes of September 20th, but you need to approve the
okay.
September 5th.
All right. 1B is the approval of minutes from the September 6th meeting. I reviewed those and didn't find anything major except we still, since Tony's in the audience, we've got to throw another R in there. F-E-R-R-A-R-I. On item 13, it's just a typo. You've got three R's total, right, Tony?
Okay.
Very slight. Okay, I have a motion by Director Mendoza. Do I have a second?
Okay.
And second by Director Simon. All those directors in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nobody's opposed. Motion passed unanimously with Director Fairbanks absent. Okay, item number two is the public comment period. This is a period where anyone out there can speak to an item that's not on the agenda. Any issues?
Yeah.
Yes.
Before you move on.
Okay.
Does the board want to bring back the thing and put it back on the agenda or leave it as is on the minute for this motion?
On one?
Yes.
On item one?
No.
Yeah, well, as I stated at the first meeting, the only reason I voted no on it originally was because it said we had to wait till the DWR report came out before we even consider a resolution, so...
Yeah, well, Director Simon mentioned that there's some things that probably would be included in this cost of the matter if you want to bring that back or not.
Okay.
We have to direct staff to put it back on the agenda.
Well, yeah.
It
seems to me that's taken care of.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was going to happen on the next meeting.
Well, you'd have to direct staff to do that.
Beg your pardon?
You'd have to direct staff to do that.
Oh, I understand that. Yeah.
To the agenda of the item?
Right.
Okay. All that would be is just to direct staff to agenda the item for further consideration at future meetings.
What sense?
We don't need a motion on that or anything.
Yeah, but I'd like to make a comment on that.
Okay.
Comment
away.
Okay, comment away. The night we did that, this place was full, and the public was a little upset, and there was a whole bunch of people here.
Right.
Some of us got what we wanted, some of us didn't get what we wanted, or some of us thought we got what we wanted, and some of us thought we didn't get what we wanted. But whatever way it came out, the people that left here figured it went a certain direction.
Right.
Now we're back here today saying, well, this isn't what Director Simon said, and we're trying now to go a different direction. That isn't really, I think, keeping faith with what we told the people when they were here. If you're going to go through all this rain dance again, then you better put a notice in a paper or something, get all those people back in here so they can be just as mad as they were the night you told them you were going to do what you said you were going to do. This, to me, smacks just the way the county does things. The county, and I mean, the people out there in the community are looking at this board like we snuck this thing through on them anyhow, and they're not too happy with us anyway. And I think if we're going to do anything, we better bring the public into it. I know how I feel, and I know how a lot of those people out there feel, and there's a lot of public dissent against this whole thing to begin with. And
well, let me...
There's nothing...
No, but I just don't want anybody to say, well, you changed it after you did it, and that's what it sounds like. Now,
no. I'm talking about agendizing the topic.
Yeah, but it's not dead yet, in other words.
Yeah. The change isn't for that purpose at all. The change is merely to ensure that the people that are from the public, from the AGRA group and from other groups in the public that have complained at that meeting are going to have a chance at another shot at it. And that's the intent of it and that's the purpose of it. And in getting the other shot at it, they're going to get a little better interpretation exactly of what the motion is and what the motion should be. There should be an or in there because it's quite likely that somebody will prove prior to the DWR report that there is indeed an overdraft. And if that's provable, then that's the point in time that we should go on. That's the total intent of the change. if somebody else has a different change that they want to make, I'd like to hear it.
I think there's some misconfusion about some of the people in the aspect of having meetings with groups of people, which I've had one this week. Is why are you having meetings with groups explaining AB 3030? The board voted not to do anything. And so there's some confusion. And basically the board's intention, as I came back and confirmed, that direct staff to go out and meet with these people and explain the program and kind of educate what it does, what it does do and what it doesn't do.
Right.
And so if staff starts going out, Mr. Blair's comments say, well, here they are, you know, sneaking out in the public doing something that the board did not want to do. So it's just a matter of clarification of what people
want. I think we ought to be pretty clear with the public. That's the only thing I'm saying is that when those people went away from here 2 weeks ago, they thought that things were written a certain way, and that's the way it was going to be.
They had no dissent to the agreement.
But they didn't think it was coming back up on the agenda again. They figured it was dead until 1997 or until something earth-shaking.
Well,
you know, change it.
They said they wanted to have meetings.
Well,
what meetings?
Well, see, that's exactly what we're talking about. That's the confusion here. Saying, hey, you're not supposed to be doing anything. And other people say, yeah, you're supposed to be going on.
But they want meetings.
Yeah, so, and we had agreed among ourselves that meetings would be the best way,
right,
as opposed to having a bunch of people in here very unhappy with the situation. Small meetings would be the best way to accomplish the purpose, which is to get a good understanding of what is going on.
Right. I just
type of a workshop.
Why don't we just bring it back
instead of a formal meeting?
Bring it back at the next board meeting. Go through the notice procedures that Director Blair has suggested that we put it in the Adobe Press or
whatever, yeah,
and send out mailers to everybody that has signed up on our list. And because discussing what the motion should be at a public meeting where it's appropriately agended and not.
That way we're up front with them, whether they like it or not. We've done the right thing. I think we've informed them.
But no one in the group that I can remember would be against the meeting to discuss the subject. I don't think that was the topic of the dissent, but I don't think that was the crux of the issue.
They requested that. They wanted that. They wanted more information. But they wanted more information about the intent of the board.
Right.
And so.
Right.
I just want them to be perfectly informed as to what we're doing. That's the basic line there. They had the perception before that we did this without asking them. This time, I think at least we ought to ask them, say, you know, to let them know that we're up front with them. That's all. I think that's just credibility with the public. Does that make sense?
Well, that's perfectly fine. Yeah. I mean, we're not against credibility with the public.
Right. That's.
But when you say doneness, I don't know what you mean, doneness, because we haven't done anything yet.
Well,
I don't know what you're referring to.
I think some of them went away with thinking that this thing was pushed into the horizon somewhere where they weren't going to have to deal with it like 2 weeks from now. I think that's what some of them thought.
Well, that's my primary point. If I call up a group that was taught that, say, hey, I'd like to have some meeting next week, what are you doing? The same folks we did in some of the DWR reports, though.
Right.
And that's the clarification to me.
I think we ought to explain it.
Have you heard that?
There's some people went away with that.
Yes, there's. Maybe you get some public comment right there.
I do. Done it. No.
So they don't want any? And so
I think
the
when
DWR
we left here the other night, we even got more than what we expected. Because we left saying, now we don't even have to worry about it until the DWR report.
Huh.
And that was the conversation that kind of took place outside. So my suggestion, as one of those that was sitting in the audience, would be that before you ever brought it back before the board for any kind of discussion and riled everybody up again, perhaps the best thing to do is what Doug Jones did this last weekend, that he showed up at our regular Tuesday morning meeting and talked over the situation with us, which we were most receptive, and I appreciate him coming, and I think we all did. And if he could do the same thing with some of the nurserymen, and if he could even perhaps have a public town meeting that's not an NCSB meeting to get some sort of favorable consensus before you even bring anything back to the board. I think if you bring this back to the board, you're going to get everybody confused again. Why are you coming back to the board to clarify Mr. Simon said, it's actually on the tape. What is there to bring back? Why wouldn't you just exactly have the minutes read exactly what the tape says?
No, we are. Yeah, that's
but
been done.
But now you're asking to bring it back before the board again in another week or so.
Well, no, that wouldn't have nothing to... Well, I see your point. But the passage of the minutes is already done. That's done. And that's an accurate... That's an accurate report or record of what happened that night. They've been amended tonight to reflect that. Anything that occurs at a future meeting is a future meeting. I don't know what that's going to be.
So now your record will say that Mr. Jones is going to be able to have some meetings with some people and talk about it at least.
Oh, yeah.
And perhaps once he gets his...
That's been ongoing. Yeah.
You know, I think a lot
I know I've been getting calls.
That's the problem.
That's the mess they got when they...
The problem not is that we wouldn't even tackle this until a DWR report comes out. And that's the clarification.
I think that's the way we all left here the other night, was we even... It even went farther than what we had expected it to go, and that it was just tape until the DWR report came out.
And if staff goes out and starts talking about it, there might get a different... Well, what are they doing about it?
Okay.
Is that your...
I think so. That's my opinion from what I left here with. And
no, I appreciate
standing
that.
Standing around outside and listening to what the rest of them were saying was that, that's cable.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I was under the distinct impression by others, though, that that's the last thing they wanted. They wanted to be down here talking to us the next morning. I mean, I've got 17 phone messages, you know. They're mainly from three
in
people.
I think most of them here is interested in being a part of the community and wanting, to do what's right. And we're not, I don't think we're trying to stonewall you from going and doing what's right. We just want to be in on it from the very beginning. And I think by bringing it back again before the board until maybe a month or so has passed and Mr. Jones or... Maybe you've gotten some feedback from people in writing or something that says, come on, now we need to get together again.
Right. I think that's a good suggestion, because if there's that kind of confusion out there, well, then something does have to happen outside of a normal meeting first.
Well maybe the best thing to do is let's make it lay, and I'll go out. Basically, the intent is to go out and talk to different groups and everything else, and if it arises saying, what are you doing that, then come back to the board at that time and get further clarification.
Yeah, I suggest that you might even send a memo to like our group and a memo to the nurserymen's group and ask if we would go along with getting together with some other meetings and maybe have a representative get together with you. So you don't have to go ahead maybe and meet with, it could be just similar to a group that you might eventually end up with.
Well, I was trying to contact these interested groups and meet with individuals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we will not bring it back to this agenda. We'll just leave lay and staff and we'll go on with the intent of meeting with different groups and organizations and explain the program, AD 3030 program.
All right. Okay. That sounds fine. Okay, that wraps up item number one. Let's get back to item number two real quick. The public comment period. Any public comments out there other than on items other than agenda items?
We got one quick one.
Okay.
I've just been notified that the Special Districts Association will be hosting a reception for Jack O'Connell. It'll be similar to the one that we had with Tom Bordenaro a while back. It's scheduled right now for October 20th at the Gardens. See if you might want to get that on your calendar as early as possible.
Gardens, which
that's
Avila
Hot Springs.
Oh,
Jack O'Connell, October 20th. Okay. Any other public comments? Okay, let's move on to item number three under board administration. This is the 1994-1995 audit report. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. Carlson has completed the audit report and will be presented to your board. Each of the board members has a copy of the board As previously mentioned at the last board meeting, the Financial Committee, Contingent Director Fairbanks and Director Simons reviewed it with Mr. Carlos and added a couple minor changes, and Mr. Carlos is now here for presentation.
Mr. Reynoso.
Does everyone have a copy of this?
Yes.
Okay. I kind of wanted to just go over briefly and pinpoint any changes in the prior year and also answer any questions you might have. I wanted to point out into cover page 3 of the report. That's basically the independent auditor's report. And I guess the most important paragraph there is the same paragraph where I give an opinion on the financial statement, whether they're presented fairly, and I am saying in a positive manner that they are presented fairly often in other terms that this is what you would call a clean opinion, is what you want to get this set up nicely with a positive statement. So that's probably the most important thing that you want there. Changes from the prior year, things that you may want to, just for your information, in the past, the way the district did their billing, there was always a portion of unbilled water sales and sewer sales that were not billed because of the way the billing was, and always went into next year. That amount has been growing over the years. This year, at June 3rd, we measured what that might be, and it was about $81,000. So we went ahead and made what you call a private adjustment to reflect at June 30th. Fees are going to be collected but haven't been billed yet.
Okay.
So we did that. That was a change from the prior year. And also, competent absences, that's where employees are invested for their sick leave or vacation. And at the time that they're invested for that, that belongs to them, and if they were ever leave the district, they can get paid for it. So that's a liability to the district. So we wanted to go and reflect that. And that was about $25,000. So that, again, was named as a part of the adjustment, so that the balance sheet reflects that liability.
Okay.
Those are the two main changes that we did. The format is about the same. There's a few minor cosmetic changes, but those are the two major changes there. Is there any specific questions on any of the pages? We can go over that.
I didn't have any specific things. I just kind of wanted, I was hoping that maybe you could just breeze it real quick and just highlight things that you think are important for us to take special note of.
Well, let's see. If you go to turn to page 4,
okay.
Page 4 is what we call the balance sheet.
Right.
That statement reflects what the assets of the district are, what the liabilities, and then what the fund equity, which is just the difference between assets and liability. For example, if you look at the first subtotal, it shows that your total current asset was $1,900,000. You had about $1.7 million in cash, accounts receivable about $100,000, $180,000, and you have some interest receivable. So that's about $1.9 million. You had another $1.5 million of cash that's restricted. And that money has been received for connection charges. I guess what you would call those capacity charges have been received.
Right.
And that money hasn't been spent yet to expand the system or replace the system. So you have that over $500,000 there in cash. Then you had your fixed assets, all your equipment and property, net of depreciation of $14 million. So anyway, your total assets at that point is $17,600,000. Yeah, so that's important to know. It is a very good condition, thinking just how much cash you have in the bank. So that's a good sign there. Your liabilities, the next section down, you have current liabilities. That means money that you're going to have to be paying out within the next year. And that's only $759,000. Most of that, $563,000, was cash that was left over, that's in assessment district number 93-1. That money was left over. Not really, it doesn't belong to the district, but it's used for that purpose. So that's the biggest liability there. So the liabilities are not very large compared to the assets. Your only long-term debt you have really is those revenue bonds, and you had the end of the year, there was about $112,000 outstanding that we paid over future years. The total liability is about $966,000. The difference between those two, between your assets and your liability, is $16,600,000. That's what you would call your equity, your fund equity. And in that, you've received about $14 million in contributed capital. That was either assets that were received by developers or assets that were received through the assessment district, also including capacity charges that were received over the year. So that's your capitalization. And then the next part is retained earnings. And what that represents is the, you could say, the bottom line, the profits that have accumulated over the years. And right now, that's up full there is $1.7 million. And within those, you set aside or you reserve $120,000 for sewer system replacement. Then you have to reserve for debt service, $15,000. Then you have a reserve for emergency, $50,000. And then the rest of it is unreserved. But I just wanted to pinpoint one thing. That doesn't necessarily mean it's all in cash. Some of it could be in your other assets. So that's just a difference maker. It doesn't necessarily mean that's good for the bank, but that's still labeled that as your financial.
Okay. I believe Lisa mentioned to us before, maybe prior to a year ago, that we weren't depreciating capital assets. We're now online to do that, right?
Right. Yeah, you're depreciating those. I don't know in
did you assess the rate at which we're depreciating from the standpoint?
Well,
did it make sense to you?
Yeah, the depreciation was recorded. What had happened that when someone contributed assets to you, you recorded on that equity, but that value, that equity was not reduced as you were depreciating the assets. And that was the change that we were saying at the end of 50 years, the assets that they gave you should be zero, so that it matches. But that's more of an accounting entry that's made on the books.
Okay.
The depreciation has been recorded, as far as I know, for a long time.
Looks like it's not covered with cash.
Right, it's not covered. It's just a paper entry. So it's not, a lot of districts, well, I would say most of them really just can't afford to fund all their depreciation. Some may want to set a little bit aside, but it can be very hard to put it all aside.
Okay.
If you go to page 5, that statement is called statement of revenue expenses and changes in fund equity. That would be comparable to what you would call your P&L statement that you have a regular business. It has operating revenues, the first category, of $1.3 million. And it shows the sources of that. You have water sales, sewer sales. Then you have other miscellaneous things that we'll receive, $1.3 million. Your operating expenses was $1,034,000. And in the back, there's a page in the back that details what that's made up of. Your depreciation that you recorded, again, just a paper entry, $543,000 was the expense. When you figure out depreciation on everything that you have, $543,000. When you subtract those two from your revenue, you can come up with an operating loss of $264,000. Then you would add your non-operating, what you call non-operating revenues and expenses. You have property taxes of about $148,000 that you received. You wrote off an abandoned project that you had accumulated cost on of about $60,000. It would mean that it was busy working at this point. There was no value to it, so we had to write that off.
What project was that?
That's part of the summit station area that the looping lines from the tank and the expansion.
Okay.
When the assessment district first formed, it was a much larger area.
Right. I recall that. Okay, thanks.
And you have interest income that you earn on the investments of $140,000. You have interest expense on your debt of $10,000. Coming down to a total non-operating revenues or expenses of $215,000. So when you add those together, you come up with a net loss that the district had of about $50,000. And again, that's after deducting your $500,000 of depreciation. So you have a net loss of $50,000. Then during the year, you receive capacity charges of $630,000. That's part of your equity debt, up to $30,000. Then you receive fixed assets from assessment district number 93-1. The value of those assets was $1.5 million. And those assets are now yours to record those as part of your equity. So that increased your equity. The next line down, you start off the deal with an equity of $14,500,000. You had some prior period adjustments that had cost you before of about $60,000. So when you add those two together, you come up to an equity of about $16,500,000. That's your...
Go ahead. On page 4, it says cash held in trust for assessment district 93-1. What money is that?
Well,
that's because there was money
to do that assessment.
There
was money left over after
it
hasn't been spent yet. As of today, I don't know what the balance is right now, but...
That's the contingency fund that was in there? Or is that...
No. Part of when the bond was structured, we had to have so much in reserves, so much in the redemption fund for contingency and the improvement fund. There is a balance, a rather large balance remaining in the improvement fund, but according to bond council, we have to keep it available for 2 years to make sure there's no litigation or anything against the assessment district. And then at the end of the 2 years, then bond council and staff will make a recommendation to the board asking how to dispose of that, whether it be applied to the bonds now or hold it till the end or apply it at the end to reduce, you know, a bond payment from 25 years down to 23 years or 20 years.
If they paid it in 2 years, then that would reduce the whole thing by a considerable amount of money.
So we have to wait until next year.
Okay. But that's in there. That's where I figured. I figured it was in there somewhere, but I didn't know where it was. Okay.
And then each time we get properties, the assessments are collected on the property tax roll. It goes into the redemption fund and it increases. And then on September 2nd, we have our first.
Bob expects a piece of that.
No, but that's about $4,000 a person or something like that. So the $3,000 or $4,000, if my math is halfway correct, was it 150 people out there? Well, then that's even better.
So you have to remember there was 20 some parcels that paid cash that will not benefit from the
right.
Yeah, but that's poor devils that don't have much money that didn't pay cash may benefit from that.
And I think also that was understood at the time when we're talking to bond council about that. Where about those people that I think they're talking to Mr. Jones too about that. Where about the people that did pay the cash assessment for their water? They will get something back too in the form of a refund or a rebate proportionate with what the amount is left.
That's $3,800. That ain't half bad.
And because he paid that in full up front, how many paid 19 years?
No, you paid in full, so then we didn't buy as much in bonds.
I know that, but we're fortunately sharing that money that was in there too. So we would get something back. We were saying not money, but we get it like a credit. Those parties that paid the
full assessment at the time. Looks like we're going to have to bring the tapes out again and start reviewing tapes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to argue with Mr. K, though. He's been here a long
time. Mr. K and I both did
it. We can keep the bond going.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew it was in there somewhere because I remembered it from before.
Okay. That's a renounce. So, all right.
Thank you very much.
Let's see the next one. Statement that I'll go over is on page 6. That's what we call a statement of cash flows. And what that statement does is just identify where your cash came from and where it went. And then you can see there's 1, 2, 3. There's four sections. The first section is called cash flow from operating activities. And it summarizes all the different components of what happened in your operations. And you come from the middle of the page, there's a subfolder that says net cash provided by operating activity. And that's a positive $728,000. That's how much cash was generated from operations. Then your next categories called cash flow from non-capital financing activities. And that was your property taxes you received, $147,000 there. Next category is cash flow from capital and related financing activities. And there you have a positive also $417,000. It says you acquired and constructed assets by $200,000. You paid your notes payable $5,000. And you received capacity charges $630,000. And you paid your interest on your debt of $10,000. So that ends up at $417,000. And then the last category is cash flow from investing activities. And that shows that that interest income is that you're investing $140,000. When you add all those, it shows that you have a net increase in cash and cash equivalents of adding that to what you had at the start of the year of $1.8 million, leaving you with cash and cash equivalents at the end of the year of $3.2 million. And then also on the bottom of that page, it discloses information on non-cash investing activity. And we disclosed there that during the year the district received donated fixed assets in the amount of $1.5 million from the Special Assessment District 93 cash remote. The rest of the pages are, well, the next page is notes to financial statements, and they basically explain policies of the district on how they put together their financial statements in general. I guess one page that I may want to just put your attention to, I guess, is page 15 and 16. Those are two new footnotes that we added that give a little more detail as to what happened to your contributing capital during the year, with, you know, all the different changes, and then also the next page, your retained earnings. It just gives you more information on what happened, where, you know, how it came up, how it went down. So that's a good note there. Let's see. Note 8 is an operating leases. This was disclosed last year, but we did expand it a little bit just to disclose that the district does have a 99-year lease, and that it will be paid over that time, and the estimated amount is going to be paid over the 99 years. Just so you know that you do have a commitment to pay money, and that's required to disclose.
Okay.
And then the last page, I think you just your attention to the line. In this page 24, which is the statement of operating expenses, and that's a listing of all your operating expenses by category. You're interested in finding out what how much you spent on a particular thing that you did just pull over there.
I think we ought to buy a tank site.
Buy a police office.
People looking at these operating leases and all this kind of stuff. No, is there any special treatment of this? Whenever we make a transfer from reserves or a particular fund, that's treated as revenues, or does that not affect this? Because this is an audit of just pure revenues and expenses, right? It's not a budget from the
standpoint. If you're taking money out of reserves and you're putting it into the operating, you wouldn't see it reflected here.
You wouldn't, because that's
a change in form of cash.
Right, okay, that's what I figured.
But the internal financial statements that I prepared that had budget figures, and those are where you would find those types of items.
More of a
I point them out to you when I give you the quarterly.
Okay.
But for Carlos as the auditor,
transparent.
You wouldn't see that.
Okay, so that's like a budget, a planning instrument, a method. Okay. Did it meet with your? I assume you and Katie met with Mr. Renoso, and you guys hashed it out. And looks like a nice report.
Yes, we spent. We spent several hours reviewing it in much in greater depth than this review has been this evening, obviously. And I was quite impressed with it. I thought that the program was very good from the standpoint of the information that was given to Carlos was good information and enabled him to create a good audit. Katie joined me in that thought, and we were both very impressed with the whole program.
Sorry, Dave. Now, I think you've done a fine job with it, and I think it should also, the compliment should go to Lisa as well and to Doug, too, for making sure that all of this information was available. And obviously, the information was correct and so on and so forth.
It's all black ink. There's no red ink in it, but there's some parentheses.
There's the magic of it.
The one, but primarily the losses that we're referring to here, the big chunk of it is the depreciation.
Right.
$560,000, right?
Yes. If you add that back to your net loss, then it would show that you've had a positive increase.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's required, whenever you prepare statements in accordance with generally so that accounting principles require you to reflect the portion that's called depreciation that is various what your expenses are being worn out of. Eventually you have to replace the same for the initial expense portion of it in your operation.
And I guess it's acceptable to add that $81K in there even though it's not received. It's kind of like a pro rata amount that you expect to receive. I'm talking about the billing period overlapping.
Yeah. Well, if you look at what happened on that at a certain point in time, what are the assets of the district, then it's important to put that in there.
Right.
And especially as the district grows, that number is going to get bigger and bigger. So maybe 5 years ago, maybe that was half of that.
Right.
And maybe at that time it was...
They've used water all the way through June 30, so we don't have it on the books, so that's what we did is we had to estimate how much water in dollars that they used from the last meter read date, as well as the other books that were read early in June, and that's what it equated to.
Sure. As long as we're adding it in now that we don't add it again next year, we'll
actually
receive the money. So
yeah, it's a receivable.
A lot more accurate. What's that?
It's a receivable.
Yeah. I didn't have any further questions. Any other board members? Did you want to add anything?
Just quickly, I wanted to just go over some other. You have two other reports there.
Right.
Just to tell you about those.
A white paper.
One is called the Discriminant Report on Compliance. Right. It's basically there. I give an opinion that there was no instances of non-compliance that I believe would affect the financial statements of the district and where I have to disclose it to you. So it's kind of a positive statement saying that there were no instances of non-compliance that are required to be reported under government auditing standards. And whenever you do an audit in accordance with auditing standards, you're required to present this report. There's another report that's next to that one or attached. It's called the Independent Auditor's Report on Internal Control Structure. And there, if there was any weaknesses, and material weaknesses in the system, then I would have to communicate those to you. But again, the second paragraph from the end says that I know there's no matters involving the control structure in this operation that I consider to be material weaknesses as defined above. So that's also a good sign. There was only one minor verbal recommendation that we met, and Lisa agreed to do that is start working on putting together an accounting policies and procedure manual. It takes a while to do that, but it's always good to have that in case if there's turnover or something happens to someone. You get rid of your arm, something, it's easy for someone else to take over. And it is time for someone to put together, but over the next year or so, hopefully they can do that. And that's just to make it better. But everything was fine the way it was operating.
Yeah.
And the last letter, considered a letter, is addressed to the board of directors. And also, I'm required, there's 6 topics that I'm required to communicate with you if I had any problems or just for basic information, if you get that letter out, the first category says my responsibilities under generally accepted auditing standards. That basically just explains what my responsibilities are, and I am just kind of telling you so that you're aware of what or not it is and what my responsibilities are. There's really no anything negative there. It's just more for information. Second section there is called significant accounting policies. Again, there, if there was any change, significant changes in any accounting policies, or if there was any new policies established, then I would just need to inform you specifically that there was a change so you would know. Sometimes you can make a change in policy and it may not be reflected clearly that you would know, but I would be required to tell you about that. Because again, I'm saying that there was no changes in accounting policies. Another section is accounting estimates there. Again, if there was any major changes in any accounting estimates, I would be required to tally. For example, they were last year they were depreciating their water line for 50 years. This year they switched and now they're doing it over 10 years. So that would be a big impact. I would need to tally you about those. Anything that's an estimate, depreciation is an estimate because we don't know how long things are really going to last. So management comes up with an estimate of what they think it's going to be. And set up an example of what. The next section is the significant audit adjustments. If I had any significant adjustments, I would need to tell you about them. Here, I'm saying that there was six minor entries made in composing the books, and some of those were things that Lisa had already brought up, and we went ahead and recorded those. And then there was two that were called prior period adjustments, where we talked about recording the end bill, utility billing, and also the comfort absences. So I'm just saying that there was two of those. Then the next section is called disagreements with management. If I had any, I would need to disclose that to you. And the last sentence says, I'm pleased to report that no such disagreements arose during the course of my audit. This, the last section is called difficulties in counting performing the audit. Again, if I had any, I would need to tell you about that, and I have not. So that's the last letter that I have to present to you. And again, like Officer Simon said, that Lisa and her staff, they do a good job in the accounting and reporting and the activities, and it was especially during the audit. I had done this audit, I think it was in 85-86, and this is day and night.
That's why he didn't do it in 87. That was all your reasons for leaving. Your reasons for leaving in a couple of years, too. All right. Mr. Reynoso, thank you very much for your report. While Mr. Reynoso was up, are there any public questions or comments regarding the audit report or questions you might have of the director?
You had mentioned that your capital expenses and depreciation are unfunded and funded.
No, it says they're unfunded. It's just a bookkeeping entry where you record an expense for the use of your fixed assets. So the material is going down in value, you estimate what they're going down in value or useful in your recorded entry, the paper entry.
I understood that right now, but so you are not funding your capital expenses?
We are starting to.
We're turning that around. We had not been a part of this year. Now we're starting to plan for it. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Okay, well, thank you very much for your presentation, Mr. Reynoso, and your work. It looks like a very nice job.
It would be in order having a motion by the board to accept it.
Right. Chair will entertain a motion that we accept the 94-95 audit report.
I so move.
Okay, I have a motion by Director Simon. Do I have a second?
I second that.
And a second by Director Blair. All those in favor of adopting the 94-95 audit report by Mr. Reynoso, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nobody's opposed. Motion passing unanimously. Okay.
Can you make some kind of a motion to say that this is the next step?
Yeah. Director's comments.
Oh, okay.
Okay, cool. Item number four is a SCADA project report. Mr. Jones.
Here, Mr. Chairman. At the last board meeting, this board considered possibly declaring fluid control systems, Larry Siebert, in default of the contract of installing programming and starting up the district SCADA system. Mr. Siebert addressed your honorable board the work that he reviewed, and he requested an extension, which the board granted him a two-week extension, that in that period of time that he would have all the necessary bugs and et cetera taken out of the system. I checked with staff this afternoon at 4:30 to find out what the status of the system was, and it still was not up and fully running at that time. And I think the contractor realizes that he's probably unable to finish the system. So it's staff recommendation that the resolution presented to your honorable board declaring the contract in default of his work be approved.
Well, what's the amount? The original bid was $37,400 or something for the work. Let me see. $37,400. What percentage of that, what's the dollar amount in the contingency?
Basically,
retention.
It's been exhausted. His reporting has pretty much, as he went along, he declared he was about 99% complete.
We retained $1,200 because we had an
Okay, is that is it okay to ask a question about the resolution before we
sure.
formally consider it? Okay, let's see, we've got A, B, C on the resolve passages or resolution passage number 4 on page 1. It mentions staff is directed to take steps necessary to collect damages. Is that the damage that Lisa just mentioned?
Well, basically, that'd be one measure of the damages. The other damages, of course, would be the cost of completion. This resolution, I think it's paragraph 3, staff is directed to acquire the necessary expertise and materials and personnel to complete it. Assuming, as Lisa has reported, that the district has spent a total of $37,000, and it's a great argument that whatever else we expend on it is damages on the basis of the $37,000 contract.
Okay. I don't know if the hardware and software?
Or yeah. Well, it's mainly labor. Labor and system costs, too. I mean, at the start, it's probably the hardware, but once you pay that, it's a lot of labor.
Yeah. Well, basically, damage if we've gotten cost of $5,000, $10,000 to get it up and running, and that would be damaged back to the company.
It's not running at all then?
Well, it runs. It's in minutes. It doesn't run.
It's not like the air traffic controls.
Yeah, unfortunately, some of the areas it was failing in the last 2 weeks was problem reporting regarding
the alarm system.
Tank levels and things.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are
probably
one of the most critical functions. Mm-hmm.
Well, after the board approved the extension, he came down that Saturday and last Saturday, and he's been here yesterday and today. So I think the effort of completing it was not enthusiastic.
Is he a one-man operation?
He has his son working with him.
He basically is.
Yeah.
At what point did he get another opinion on the system?
Probably about 3 months ago, I had another contract come in and look at the system and indicated there's a number of problems with it. I called the software people back in Boston and interrogated them to a certain extent. And the problem is there's no one in staff that has the expertise in the computer aspect of it, and you have to rely on other people, which puts us at a disadvantage. I've talked to other agencies that have hired this service, and they are running a very similar problem. So we're not alone. Another agency let him go, has brought someone else in, cleared up a matter, and then brought him back in trying to finish up the program. So he makes it or not another question. But they're thinking on the same line either.
Do you have any estimate as to what the problems with the hardware and the software might be?
I think it's
how much is installation problems and how much is actual?
I think the primary aspect is the software. I think he's, and here again, I'm not an expert. He's using what they call truth tables to try and program things, which are, as I understand, talking two separate people. That's kind of old technology. They're using function blocks now, which are much simpler and easier to troubleshoot. Truth tables, I guess, are very, very difficult to troubleshoot or almost impossible to troubleshoot. And so he's used truth tables to program the system. And basically, it's a page with a bunch of I's and dots going down each column. If you miss one I or one dot, then you got a problem. And the program you go to spits out error, overload, or something like that, which goes back to the truth table. Like I say, I'm not an expert, this is what others have told me.
But that's a function of software itself.
Yeah, it's primary
that's
software.
He's done.
Well,
I mean,
in programming it.
Okay.
Okay, if you program it wrong, gets it going, everything else, you get one little zero or one misplaced, and then when the process goes through, it kicks up and the alarm or function doesn't function properly. And that's my understanding of the problem. It's primary software.
Okay.
I've contacted about two or three other software people and they've had the demonstrations and they reviewed it and we're looking someplace between 10 and 20,000 to get it up and running. Yeah.
The trouble is if you don't get the software and your system and your hardware all bought and installed in 90 days, you're already
behind. Yeah, you're outdated.
You're really behind.
Well, that's true. I mean, since the program started, there have been three upgrades in the software.
Right.
So we got to hire somebody else?
Yeah, basically, a number of proposals have come in. One of them is using the Safewalk software, but the latest upgrade 3.0.1, I think it is, and they would install it and get it up and running. Here again, you look at multitasking versus some that are not multitasking. This one runs on OS 2, which is a 32-bit multitasking software package. The others are running on Windows, which is a 16-bit. Theoretically, it's not multitasking, but some software guys have manipulated their software to make it look like a multitasker. It does multitasking. And yeah, I've talked to a number of people, and I wish I was an expert.
What about Windows 95?
95, it is a 32-bit system. Yeah. I'm waiting for 95.1 to come out.
That's a smart move. In the meantime, we'll use a dipstick.
That's what I use.
So, and unfortunately, you know, of course, retrospect is great. After I went to the conference, we let the contractor went to the conference, talked to a number of software people, and I wish we let the contract after the conference than before the conference. And so, like I say, these conferences are worth of knowledge.
Just wanted to warn you, I've been to some of those conferences, and they've got some very smooth talkers at these conferences, too. They're there for a reason.
Well, I ran across
you by installing it and getting it running is a whole different thing.
I ran across this one in San Francisco, which is a very sophisticated operation. They operate at, I think, 64 bits, and I think it's 1,200 mixer speed. And everything we have around here, we have 30 or 12 on it. And he said, you know, you push a button and it flashes on the screen, you don't wait for it to come up. And I told him our system, he said he probably installed our system for about $125,000. Hardware and software. So even if we had another 20,000, we're still hit. Total. So, you know, those are the things. Of course, that's an extreme sophisticated system, which we don't need.
Any questions by board members? Any questions of the audience? Or by the audience regarding our computer system? Okay, and the motion that we're going, or the action we're considering tonight is passage of a resolution declaring the installer fluid control system incorporated in the default of their contract proposal. I want to entertain a motion that we adopt the resolution. Now the resolution, could we read it in title?
Yeah, there's no need to read a resolution in title only. It's the same process as normal motion, except you take a roll call vote.
Yeah.
I make a resolution.
Motion.
A motion that we adopt 95560, finding fluid control systems in default.
Got a motion. Contract. Motion by Director Blair. Do I have a second?
Second.
A second by Director Simon. Have a roll call vote, please.
Director Blair. Director Simon.
Yes.
Yes. Four eyes, Fairbanks is absent. Okay, item number five is the public hearing regarding adoption of ordinance 95-82. Do you have any introductory words, Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, the board held a meeting on September 6th, the last board meeting, and introduced and had the first reading of ordinance number 95-82. Changing the system fee nomenclature to be identified as capacity charges to be in compliance with the government code. And now is the time to hold a public hearing. After receiving any comment from the public, the board may have the second hearing and adoption of the ordinance.
Okay, I noticed in Mr. Reynoso's report he's got capacity charge in there, so he actually. before we even change the term. I thought that was very prudent, though. That's great. Okay, let's declare the public hearing open, then. This is a public hearing regarding an ordinance. It's really just a change in terminology. What we used to refer to as system fees are now being charged more appropriately and in accordance with the government code, capacity charges. It's a very lengthy ordinance, only because we have to substitute the use of the terms over 12 pages or so. Are there questions regarding our change in terminology or any kind of concerns you might have changing system fee to capacity charge? It's going to be a short public hearing. I'm warning you. Installation fee? I don't believe we're changing anything with installation.
No, but like for
no fee change. Structure
for
proposed.
Like the difference between like an inch meter and a 2-inch meter.
Cost of the meter.
Permanent
cost of the meter.
Yeah, I can see the meter reflected, but to dig them up and stuff, it's about the same shot, isn't it?
No, this is an installation cost. We don't dig them up after we put them in.
No, but I don't know. You put in a 1-inch pipe or 2-inch pipe. Is there really $6,000 difference?
That's the difference in cost of a 1-inch meter versus a 2-inch meter. The meter itself has changed the cost of the meter.
Oh, I see. That's the cost of the meter. What's the meter fee over there?
That's
the cost of the meter.
Yeah, that's the cost of the meter. The other one, 1-inch and a 2-inch. The 2-inch fittings are essentially more costly, the bronze associated with them.
$6,000.
$6,000. That's capacity charge.
Oh, that's capacity charge.
Right.
Okay.
We're looking at installation fee.
No, we're getting off in an area which we probably shouldn't have got, but we can discuss that openly, but that's not doesn't have a lot to do with what
we're talking even like the installation fee, like you're still digging the same hole, aren't you?
Yeah, except you're putting in a larger piece of pipe and larger fittings.
You need a bigger wrench.
The fittings that hook on a 2-inch corpus stop, 2-inch saddle, and a 2-inch meter stop are substantially
more
expensive.
Okay, it will take longer than to install that.
Well, it's financially more expensive just because you got so much more brass than a 1-inch.
No, but what I'm getting at is the fee, the installation fee itself. That's labor, right?
No, that's labor and parts.
Oh, that's labor and parts. Right. Okay, well then that's just what I was questioning. I'm never going to buy one of those, but someone might ask me much. Why did this cost me more? I like the
labor
itself.
Okay. And the capacity charge is 6,000 more because we're dealing with pi r squared. We're dealing with volume flows.
Well, more water.
Yeah.
Right.
not just a doubling of the width of the pipe, but volume capacity.
Right. That's the difference between like a nursery and a house, right? Something like that.
You got it.
Okay. My own information. People ask me these things. I don't want to be able to tell them.
Good question. Any comments or questions from the audience? Okay. Let's declare the public hearing closed then. And Chairman, I want to entertain a motion that we read the ordinance in title only. If you have further board questions, comments.
I so move.
Okay, a motion by Director Simon and second by Director Mendoza that would be in title only. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Okay, nobody is opposed. But we have a reading, second reading of the ordinance in title only.
This is ordinance number 1995-82. It's an ordinance of the Board of Directors in the Pomo Community Services District amending Title I, Title III, and Title IV within the Pomo Community Service District Code.
Okay, Chair, I'll entertain a motion now that we adopt Ordinance 95-82.
Is so moved.
Motion by Director Simon. Do I have a second? And a second by Director Mendoza. Roll call vote, please. Adoption.
Director Simon.
Yes.
Director Mendoza.
Yes.
Director Blair.
Yes.
Yes. All directors vote in affirmative. Director Fairbanks is absent. Okay, item number six is a financial report, approval of warrants. Was given to us. Is there anything that needs to be sounded upon by anybody, by anyone in staff? It'll be self-explanatory. It's a short list. Surely they couldn't do that again. We had a question. What's a USA Blue Book?
It's a warehouse where you can buy different materials and that's what we bought the pump.
I thought we were trying to save money. It's like expensive Blue Book.
We did save money on
it. It's like quest equipment, you know.
Okay.
They carry a number of them.
Didn't we save some money on a truck?
Yeah. And you got down around 14,000 for 96.4.
So down. Hey, save $2,000.
It's unbelievable.
Competition.
Okay, I don't have any questions. If the board's happy with them, and if anyone out there has a question about our bills, you can ask it now. We'll tell you what we're paying for various things. Southern California Gas Company paid $15. I like that. Okay, no questions from the audience. Chair will entertain a motion that we approve the warrants.
Make a motion to approve the warrants.
Okay, motion by Director Blair. Do I have a second? And a second by Director Mendoza. All directors in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Nobody's opposed. The warrants are approved unanimously. Item number seven is the manager's report. Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Mr. President, the boil engineering water and sewer master plan, the draft is completed. We have a couple of copies in the office and the board members wish to look at them. Staff is presently reviewing it and making comments to boil engineering. We've had one meeting already. We'll probably have a second meeting based on the comments of staff, which those comments will probably be incorporated into the plan. And then once that is incorporated, the final draft will be completed and the engineer will make a report to the full board. On the wastewater facility expansion, Gary and Taylor, based on some of the information received from the boil report, is determining the amount of facilities that expansion needed for future percolation ponds and the area being taken up by CCWA, the state water project line going through. I have a meeting tomorrow morning with him to go over that, and then we'll probably start talking to CCWA on the agreement for easement to the property. On the Montecito Verde 2, I've written a couple letters to them and had a number of phone calls to them and request phone calls returned, which they have not returned. I've requested the Regional Water Quality Control Board for a determination if they will require us to fully hook them up or not, and they said they'll give me some notification to that extent. They feel that it probably would to hook up Montesinor Verde 2 with respect to the sewer project. States that anytime there's a failure, then they have to hook up. Montesinor Verde 2 has a 5-to-1 ratio because they have 5 separate tanks, and if one fails, then they all have to hook up. So that's something that's there. So I'm trying to work with the people self up how they can explain the situation to them, a win-win situation where they could sell up a couple lots, pay for the whole system for the people there, and still have a couple lots left over.
Montesinor Verde 2 is not the one that failed, though. It hasn't had a failure.
Well, some of the tanks are starting to deteriorate. There's quite separate systems out there.
No surface sewage, though, like the first time
There's been some plugging up pieces in the line. We had to get the speeds out there to get out the lines and stuff. So there has been some near surface.
Okay, but you're in communication with the residents on this?
Yeah, well, mainly self-help housing region board. Once I hear back from them, then we can go forward.
Okay.
And then Monday, there was a San Luis County Pollution Award situation. Each of you have an agenda on it. And the district had won a honorable mention for its Black Lake Wastewater Treatment Facility for pollution awards. And I didn't realize it was quite a large event. I was trying to not go, and they persuaded me to. They called me 3 times to enter, so I finally wrote a 1-page article and sent it in, and we came out 2nd place.
Surf
Rider.
Not bad.
Surf Rider Association.
Foundation.
Foundation. This guy here. He came in first.
Good. Way to go, John.
So.
Congratulations.
Is there anything more on 9112 in terms of...
Yes, I met out there this morning with the engineers. The map was recorded today, and they're breaking ground, going full forward. Everything has been completed, and today was the deadline. Everything's been recorded, and they're moving forward.
Good. Yeah, they have a lot of equipment out there now.
Right. And so the last hurdle, I guess, was recorded today, according to the Brad Rickwall of John Walls Associates.
What's the
9112? Track 9112. And then there's a notice given to you that South County Youth Coalition is meeting on September 22nd. South County Regional Center that Supervisor Bracken and all of those members see.
That's Friday morning?
Yes.
I'd like to
I might be able to.
South County, what's the one
area of Royal Grange? That's what it says here. I might be able to get off. What's that?
Just, what's it about? I mean, it says South County uses this for recreation?
I think it's just trying to get the youth involved and minimize gang activity.
Just avoid gang activity.
What about the state water thing that's going through our service area out there? Are they going to make us fence that off and we're not going to be able to have access to it? Or are they gonna
They're fencing off, but we'll have access across it.
Is it going to disturb our building?
No, it's further south in the building.
What about Pond 3?
It's south of Pond 3.
So it's not going through the pond, or is it going through
It's
pond?
Taking out one of the percolation ponds.
You're going to put it back?
Well, we can't put it back yet. Put it back someplace else. They're going to basically determine the cost and then compensate the district for it.
Still around 98K.
But that's what they initially offered. I think once you get looking at it, it may be depending on what the combination is for additional land.
How much additional property is that?
Well, basically, you mean our property? There's probably room for one more large pond, but what they're taking up basically, we end up with net zero for expansion, so we're going to have to acquire. They're taking approximately, I think, 2 acres plus the requirement of having a roadway on each side of the 100-foot requirement that the health department put on it. We're probably pushing an additional 3 acres, and we probably need another 1 acre, 2 or 3 for our future needs.
Is that available?
No, it's not available. It's not within. We'd have to go out and acquire more property, whether it's through condemnation or...
Can we acquire it right there?
Yeah, we're probably looking not freeway frontage, probably back away from the freeway. I guess east, south, south or west.
Now, is that water pipe, the water pipe, is that going to kill the rest of the freeway frontage all the way down?
No, it's cutting diagonally across the freeway.
Then it's going out into the field there?
Right. First Orchard goes in the bluff and goes over the bluff and across the street. It probably varied, I think, 10 to 12 feet to the front. Because they're coming underneath the freeway.
Would there be an advantage to expanding rather at Black Lake rather than there and running sewage the other way? Like if there was future development, running something.
No,
that's
but
a
I
long
mean,
pipeline.
Okay, I'm just asking. I like to ask questions.
Well, you can see where our wastewater plant is on the south end there, and where Black Lake is, it's over.
It's quite a distance.
Quite a distance.
No, but I just.
Black Lake
has one.
That's enough.
That's enough.
We will soon have a second.
They
just want
some. Based on the station, we're going to get 6,000 square foot
lots. I want 6,000 square foot lots in Silver Station.
That's all I have.
Like Silver Station is the way it is.
All right. Thank you for the report. Any board questions, comments?
Yeah. One, I'd like to kind of commend Lisa for doing a pretty good job.
Oh, okay, we're still in post.
We're still in the manager's report.
Oh, okay, sorry about that.
I thought you said director's comments.
I have no other comments.
Okay, any public comments of Mr. Jones? Questions? Okay, let's move on to item number 8, director's comments. Mr. Blair.
There you go.
Yeah, I would like to commend our staff for doing a good job because the auditor said they did a good job, and I think we ought to commend them for doing a good job. When people do a good job, I think we ought to recognize the people who did a good job.
Thank you, Lisa.
Okay.
I certainly concur with them.
And Doug and everybody.
I got a little question, too, about these. I haven't got one, but a lot of people out where we are have these backflow meters, and what businesses have them in town, too.
Depends on the business.
But some businesses have them. And they have to be checked by a certified person.
Okay.
Could one of our people become a certified person and then we could charge for that?
Yes.
Why couldn't we somehow send one of our people to become certified?
Yeah, we can send them to USC from California University of California.
We have to make a motion to do that? Or?
Well, actually, we had Lee signed up for a class in July in at Cal Poly. They were going to do a class up in this area, and they thought they were going to get such a big response. It ended up that they got a low response. They canceled it. The class was $495 per week, and they didn't get enough people to even hold the class. So,
what do they charge to service one of these?
I don't know.
No, but I thought it'd be nice if we had, you know, as long as there's 143 of them. I haven't got any because I don't need one, but there's people out there in Summit Station have them, and I know there's some down in town because I've seen them. And I think as long as we're going to do it, why not have one of our people do it, and then we get the money instead of somebody else?
Yeah, it's just, you know, workload.
Yeah.
Start doing that, you're going to have to put maybe another half a person on board. And the course of the week, and I can't remember, I think down in Southern Cal, about $700 plus on the board for a week. We're looking at it.
Okay, well, I just
something to think about. Do a cost benefit deal on it. See if it looks, smarter.
There's more than that because then you have to do all the paperwork and get a computer program to put it all in and track it.
And the other thing I'd like to see, and I know I've been a little negative on this AB 3030, but what I'd like to really get us positive on. Just find it, get a committee or do something to look for some supplemental water. We got to get some supplemental water somewhere, somehow, from somebody. And like diesel, from what I can understand from people I know in the oil business, Union Oil is trying to get out of California. So, you know, we think, gee, we're going to have a source of energy out there, but I think they're going to take their little source of energy, pack it all up, and go down the road. Which means if we don't have diesel out there, we're going to have to find supplemental water from somewhere. And all of our studies seem to say that it's coming out of state water pipe from some other people, which isn't state water.
Well,
but I think if we're looking at a shortfall in water out there in the future, I think we should be doing something to aggressively go after some kind of supplemental water.
To get supplemental water, because you know the district tried to be part of the state water process, and because of the voting that came about of it in a referendum against the ruling of the district, based on a legal counsel, we had to go back to overturn that referendum, which would be a vote of the people again. And then after you got that, then you had to request the select control district for a turnout, which we had tried once before and was denied. There is water available. I mean,
okay, now that's specifically state water, though.
That's right.
Supplemental water includes a lot of potentially other things.
Yeah, you can buy water from the water bank. You can buy water from people that have.
But it has to still come through the state water pipe, which is really the freeway of water. I mean, it's.
Is that or some local supply?
Somebody.
Local supply meaning either the ocean or the South County Sanitation District. They're putting out about 3,000 acre feet a year into the ocean. Their local support.
But I think we need to form some kind of committee and take some definite steps towards finding people some water instead of saying, you know, the only thing we've got to do is manage what we've got, because obviously from what people are talking about, what we've got isn't enough.
Well, the previous board had done that. They've had the Bookman Evans study. They reviewed a whole bunch of things.
I've read all the studies, and all the studies seem to tell me we need supplemental water. I don't know where the supplemental water is going to come from. I don't think it's going to rain. But
well,
the water is out there, and we can buy it.
But you need the turnout to get it.
We need the turnout to get it.
And we can't get the turnout.
It's my understanding we're a public utility. If we really want that turnout, we can get it. Now, is that true or not?
It takes the approval of the flood control district, which is the Board of Supervisors. If they say no, you don't get it.
Why would they say no? Because of the prior vote in this area.
Part of it, and part of it is growth. When the Napomo Valley Mutual Water Company went out there and requested their turnout, which was approved, one of the board members, I actually went up there and sat there just to see what was going on, pointed directly at me and said, this is an underway, our sneaky way of the Napomo Community Services District getting water for growth. So it's a growth issue.
That's a shame. What about these desal plants that are fairly close? Isn't there one in Morro Bay?
There's one in Morro Bay. There's one being built right now, in which is being designed by Boyle Engineering in Cayucas, and there's one in Santa Barbara. And L.A. and San Diego are developing some major desal plants right now.
PG&E's had one in Seattle for a long time.
Yeah.
The only pipeline that's coming from any of these places to Napomo is a state water pipeline. And our chance of putting our own pipeline in or funding the money for it is just totally out of the question.
Pretty much so.
And what I'm getting at is the board. I see a lot of bulldozers tearing up a lot of stuff that the Board of Supervisors must be approving. Now, if they're approving all this growth and they got all this plans for Napomo for growth, then somebody up there better change their point of view on this state water turnout. There's no way all this growth can go forward that they want and all this fee money they want to collect without us educating the public into the fact that the turnoff is not a state water turnoff in as much as state water isn't going to come out of it. It's water we're going to buy and somebody's going to pay for it. And it's not state water.
In yesterday's Los Angeles Times, they had an article on the legislative group creating a program that would require all counties, cities, other municipal areas to, before they could approve a project, they would have to find the water for it. And if that goes through, then you're going to see desals all over the place. You're going to see every kind of water in the world because the developers themselves will be putting it in as a for-profit type situation, I'm sure.
Well, I think you're going to see some major court battles because you're stepping on people's water rights at that time. Anybody on this mesa now can pump all the water they want. They have a water right to overlying the land use. And the county can come in and say, I want to develop this piece of property over this particular thing. And the county says, no, you don't have the water. So, yeah, I have a water right.
Yeah, and the guy that did that, he complained because everybody else is taking his water, right?
Well, that's fine. But as I understand it, is the county cannot deny it because he has his own water.
That's it.
And he'll have to go on adjudication unless the county wants to push adjudication that basement. That gentleman has a water right. And he has the right to pump it.
That's where it leads.
Well, I think Bob is onto something. I agree. I think we should start looking for supplemental water in some way, shape, or form. And whether we ever use it or not is moot, but we certainly should be at least aware of it.
Well, those are the options of the district. And you can have an election again to overturn the referendum. If you do that, then you probably have a much better chance going to the Board of Supervisors or the Flood Control District again saying, hey, they overturn it, we want to turn off. Although we're not a contractor, we'd be buying basically contract water from other agencies, which would probably get to loan for 20 years or better.
Yeah.
You could bank it on the Mesa, which is stretched out maybe another 20 years, and then by that time the technology may come out for desal, or you could operate the South County Sanitation District and purify that water, bring it up here. The projects on the Mesa coming on board are looking at maybe 2,000-3,000 acre feet additional pumping just for those two projects out there, which is a major pumpage on the Mesa. So those are the things. If the district doesn't go forward, if a water agency is developed on the Mesa, then that water agency could go out to supplemental water and supply it to everyone.
There you go.
That isn't necessarily the answer. I understand it, but what you don't understand is you people, four of you, and some of staff aren't people that own wells and stuff, and you don't understand what a controversial gut reaction issue this AB 3030 is.
Well,
I had a guy tell me today, I got $35,000 invested in my well. He said, am I going to get charged to use it? People are very much against this. I'm not saying we got to offer them something else too to go along with us, or they're not going to buy it.
Okay, AB 3030 does not affect anyone's water rights. It does not affect anyone's
until we're in overdraft.
Well, if you got saltwater intrusion coming in, critical overdraft.
That's what I'm saying. And he who plans ahead stays ahead.
Well,
I've got water out there at Summit Station now because I planned ahead. Now I'd like to see the rest of people in the poll get a shot at water from someplace else. All our studies say that we need it, right? All these we spent what $50,000 for studies, a couple times, and they keep saying we need supplemental water. I think the press has got to get in this with us and educate the public in the fact that either their water rates are going to go up, or we're going to get supplemental water. Because in San Luis Obispo, they rationed water. Didn't they ration water? What happened to the rates? They went sky high because they said, even though we don't have as much water, we need this much revenue to run this particular organization. And when you say you need so much revenue, it's supply and demand. The demand goes down, but the price goes up. And I think we need to see if we can provide some kind of alternative for that. That's what we're here for. I think. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but that's what I'm proposing.
But you keep keying on the fact that this groundwater management agency is taking away water rights.
I don't trust it, and I don't think a lot of other people trust it, but they would trust us more, I think, if we had an alternative to throw in with this thing.
Well, the alternative is that agency could get supplemental water.
That agency, people don't
that
like
agency
agencies.
That would also involve the county, which is now somewhat against this because of this turnout discrepancy. And would include a larger geographical area than currently the district. Thus, we would have more power.
Have you ever done any development?
Influence.
Have you ever dealt with the county?
Okay.
There are a lot
I've
of
dealt with them through this job. Right
yeah,
here.
But it's different when you've got your own money on the line. Trust me. And I don't think a lot.